Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, it's Yas here, and I'm calling today with a little favour to ask. Over the recent weeks and months, I've had loads of you get in touch with some great questions, and today I'm going to be trying something new with the show. I'm trialling a Q&A segment where I'll be joined by a co-host and elite coach educator, Gerard Jones. Now, these are discussions which are going to be taking place every Sunday evening at 7:30 GMT, live on Twitter Space, if you wanted to get involved directly. Otherwise, I'll be releasing them here every Wednesday on the Coaches Network podcast. So for today's format, slightly different, and for around about 30 minutes, each discussion will be dedicated to a question that has been sent in, where myself and Gerard will be going into some real depth and sharing our views and opinions on the topic in order to leave you with some key takeaways to consider in your own environments. So the favour I'm asking for today, guys, is if you could let me know your thoughts on the new format, and you can do this by getting in touch on Twitter at TheCoachesNet. Once again, that is at TheCoachesNet. And of course, if you have a question, feel free to send that in too. Hope you enjoy the new format.
The Coaches Network, bringing the game together.
Hey guys, you're now listening to the Coaches Network podcast, a podcast aimed at anyone who's passionate about athlete, talent, and personal development. My name's Coach Yas, and I'm a UEFA A-licensed football coach developer, and content creator. I'll be sitting down with a range of guests to discuss their journeys, their life lessons, and how you can make an impact. Enjoy.
Tonight we're going to talk about how we can sort of design game day objectives to support the player. What we really want to do is make sure that this space, along with a lot of the topics we do each week, is interactive. So, you know, if anyone's got any questions or any comments, feel free to, raise your hand and ask to speak, and we can join you in the conversation. So, just a quick introduction. My name's Gerard Jones. I'm the Director of Coaching with Sporting Kansas City, and I've got a bit of experience working within the ECCC at different levels, different clubs, as well as a coach developer with United States Soccer Federation, FA, UEFA, CAF, and various other organisations. On the call with me, we've got Coach Yas. He's going to be busy for the first few minutes, but he's going to jump on as well, and we're going to make a deep dive. So, straight away, how do we design game day objectives for players? With this question, what I would say is the biggest thing I'm always sort of thinking in my mind is how can we individualise everything we do to meet the player's needs? So thinking about what are their strengths, what are their areas for development, how can we individualise it and use the game day as another opportunity to stretch and challenge the players? It's probably more frequent in my mind right now in terms of this topic. I'm literally driving from one game to the next, and I'm just coming from a game. I'm sort of reflecting on some of the observations I've seen. I'd encourage you all to think about how well do you plan your game day objectives or your game day coaching. Some of the challenges I often see with coaches is that, you know, we put a lot of effort and planning. We always talk about the training session plan. We plan our activities. We plan our exercises, durations, workloads, the questions we're going to ask. What challenges we're going to set, what rules, how we're going to progress it. We put a lot of detail into that planning of a training session. How much time spent do we do when it comes to games? And is it the same? So a quick question for everyone in the room is, if you to reflect on your own practice and think about, you know, the time you've spent planning a training session, how much of that time is equivalent to how much you would do when you're reflecting and preparing for a match day? When we're doing the game day objectives, how can we involve the players? So something we're going to talk a little bit about tonight, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, is across a 3-eye approach. So often when I'm watching coaches, and I've just come from a game today, and obviously the academy were playing yesterday, futsal, we've got more futsal games later on this afternoon that I'm driving to. I'm looking at coaches across the 3 eyes. So that would be inspire, involve, and inform. So how well do we inspire the players? How well can we inform the players, and how well do we involve them? I often find that a lot of our coaching, especially when we talk about game day objectives and what that actually means, so setting a challenge or a specific role or a mission for the player, for the individual player as well as the team or units, you know, who designs those? How much are we telling them what to do versus how much can we involve them in the process and almost co-design? And finding that balance between being quite instructional and directive where we need to, or telling them, hey, this is the objective for today, or this is the mission, these are our unit objectives, this is a team objective, but then here's our individual challenge. And then how much of that can we involve the players and co-design with them? So a little couple of things to think about just there. And I'll repeat those three again. So it's inspire, involve, and inform. And often when I'm watching coaches, I'm looking at, well, one, how well do we inform? You know, is it clear or is it ambiguous? The objectives, how well is it suited to what the players need to do based on the task of the game and some of the problems they need to solve? How can we even think about some of the problems that we're designing for the players? Of course, match day, a lot of it is about, you know, the objective of the game is score more goals than the opposition. We want to win the game, of course we do. And there'll be times where we're managing the game, managing players to try and influence the performance of the result. But we've also got to think about the journey and the process of that journey for the individual player. So how can I scaffold that player? What particular players am I going to target more in this game? And based on some of the problems the game may present, how does that help me in my game day of coaching? So how I can reflect in action. So not so much reflecting on action, although that's important as well. You know, when we're reflecting after the game or even at half time, we were thinking about what could we say differently and then how that goes into the second half. How can we become really good at reflecting in-game, that reflection in action, in order to think about how we individualise our objectives further? So there's a lot of information there. And obviously that some of that's talking about the sort of inform, if you like, where you're providing information. Involve is another interesting topic. You know, how well do we involve the players in that? How well do we check for understanding? And how do we inspire them? How can we create a mission or an objective that inspires them to build momentum within the game? So grow within the game and build confidence within the game based on what it is that they're trying to achieve. So it's almost finding that right challenge sweet spot that's going to hit them in terms of the right level of difficulty. So just a few things there. If there's any questions, I'd love to open up some interaction. If there's anything from Yaz or any of the other listeners based on some of the information I've shared so far, you know, feel free to unmute yourself or raise your hand. If I can, I'd love to go to, you know, a great experience, obviously Lee, Tony, some other great people in the room work at different levels. You know, if any guys you want to add, what does this mean to you in terms of a question? You know, how do we design game day objectives? What would it mean to you? Where would you start? What are some of your thoughts around what we shared so far around inspire, involve, and inform?
How are you doing, Lee? You all right?
I'm good. I'm good, thank you. I'm okay.
Brilliant. Yeah, good. It'd be great to get your thoughts on this.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, really, for me. Kind of looking at how you inspire the players and how we you know, over the course of my coaching career, really, looking at how I inspire the individual, I guess, and how I look to set challenges within a game environment. So what I've learned over the last couple of years is setting them different challenges within a, to the individual, how they set challenges within a unit, and then a couple of game day in a team environment as well. So how I set the challenges. And one way that I've done it that I find it really effective was from my time at MK Dons, really. So what we'd do, we weren't quite heavy on individual and unit work. So what we would do is on a Monday, we would, so the analysis department would send out the game on a Sunday. And what we did is we put players into unit groups. So defenders, midfielders and attackers and wide players. And on a Monday, what we would do is we'd sit down. Myself, I would take a unit. My assistant coach might take a unit. And then what we'd do is we would put them into their groups. So on a Sunday, they would communicate to each other and work together and set themselves challenges. So what we would look for from them on a Saturday. So what we would do is sit down and basically the players would feed back to us what they were looking for. And what we would do is we would record these. We would record it. So we'd film the meetings, every single meeting. So what we would do across the season is build, I suppose, like a development diary for them with certain challenges in each meeting. So what we would do then is upload it onto the PMA for them. And then what they would have across the season is some real detailed work, but the players would feed that back. All we would do as coaches is basically just prod and probe and gauge where they are in their development and how they understand their roles and responsibilities within a unit. So what we would do then is, like I said, we would record it across the season. And by the time they got to May, they would have had nearly over 40 meetings, I guess, how to develop themselves within a unit and how they work together. And then what I would do at the end, recorded, we'd have meetings with each individual player. Sorry, can you hear me again?
Can a bit now, yeah. Just come out for a little bit, but yeah, go ahead.
Hello, sorry, I keep losing my...
Yeah, we've got
you now. Apologies. So, yeah, so what we would do each week then, individual, and basically because of... we'd have individual meetings with each player. So, again, it wasn't just kind of looking at the technical, tactical side of it. We were looking at physical development. So we would have S&C sitting with the meetings. So we weren't just setting them challenges from a technical and tactical point of view. There was physical challenges as well from the physical development side of it. And also what it helped me do was gauge each individual and how I need to work with them. So basically the players would feed back to me again certain objectives that we had set them to go after in the game. So it wasn't just meetings for the sake of it. They weren't just feeding stuff back for the sake of it. They knew exactly what they were going after when they looked at their clips and when they looked at the footage. So they knew exactly what they're going after and what they're looking for and what to clip. So again, it wasn't just the meeting for the sake of it. The players were learning and how to develop themselves.
I think I might have lost you a little bit, Lee. I can't hear you now, but if I can, I just thought I'd jump in. Absolutely, really thank you for sharing that info, because lots of great detail there, especially in terms of, you know, trying to link it back before Yaz around, you know, how well do we inform them, but how well do we inspire and involve players when we're thinking about game day objectives? So individualising our match day coaching. And I love the fact that there's detail there around getting them to reflect on their own practice, coming up with their own objectives, not only watching video, but you also talk about recording sessions. So that way players can watch stuff back. You know, I even think, I mean, I know it's been doing the rounds. It's not necessarily new practice, but it's good practice, you know, where we've seen Ranieri talking into his Apple Watch, reflecting on stuff, giving himself comments about his observations. You know, and there's certain things where, you know, as we're in sessions or we're planning our work or we're reflecting on the training session, we can get players to do this type of stuff as well as us as coaches. You know, are we talking to ourselves? Are we talking to somebody else? You talked about how you've got coaches who are responsible for certain players or in particular certain units or some of the other individual detail. So I think these are all really good examples of how we can sort of involve the players, but equally be more efficient and effective in where we're making an impact and a connection. So really good thoughts. Yaz, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, good, man. Sorry for the delay. But I'm not sure if I'm covering old ground, really, but there's a couple of things that kind of popped to mind as you guys are talking there. And, you know, just looking at, in terms of how we design the game, the objectives, I think it's really important to understand what it's going to sound a bit silly, really, but what's the outcome that we're going after in terms of the game, the objectives? Are we setting the tasks? Are we setting objectives to win the game? Are we setting objectives to align it with development? It's interesting. I was having a conversation with some parents today, and one of the age groups that the parents are kind of representing, they're very much focused on trying to win games. And they made a point to me, said, oh, you know, the opposition that we played last week, they've done their research against us, and that's why we lost. Thinking to myself, no, they haven't done their research. You know, whether they've done their research or not, it's irrelevant. But the bottom line is that obviously if they have done anything of the sort, or the way in which they've delivered that information to you, would suggest that their priority is to win the game. Therefore, their game, their objectives are influenced and set probably in very... very influenced by the idea that they want to win the game. Not to say that winning is not a priority, but it's just not number one priority, certainly for me in the group that I'm working with. Whereas if my goal is to actually, I want to help the players develop, and not to say, you know, as coaches generally, we all say that we want our players to develop, but our actions and our behaviours are very different to our intentions sometimes. So I think, you know, just kind of looking at that from that perspective and identifying, right, what is the objective for the game, the objective that we're actually setting? Is it winning or is it development? And I think another point, you know, just to kind of touch on to what Lee was saying earlier about, you know, he mentioned something along the lines of making sure the players are learning. And it's actually, again, another point that I was kind of thinking about today. And it's, you know, if you've got a response to this, then by all means, jump in. But how are we actually ensuring the players are learning? How do we know that? What are the steps that we're taking to make sure that we understand and can clarify learning? So, yeah, just a couple points from me, Gerard. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, man.
No, I think it's good. I just wanted to add something before Lee. It'd be great to get your response and even open up to other people's thoughts. I often hear this phrase a lot. We all talk about, don't we, where we say, like, winning versus development, or we sort of create that continuum. And just playing devil's advocate, does it have to be at opposite ends of the spectrum? Or an actual fact, just for people listening? Because the way I view it is that, you know, winning is development. And winning looks very different in different ways. The object of the game is we want to score more goals than the opposition. So we're always going into the game that we're wanting and should want to win the game. But then equally there's... And you can learn, obviously, through winning. You learn a lot through losing, but you definitely learn a lot through winning as well. I think the challenge for coaches is when you're talking about your game, the objectives, yes, you want to prepare for the match, but you and give people clear roles and responsibilities whilst also allowing for autonomy and independent thinking, self-learning, problem solving, because, you know, we want to develop the Mavericks. We want to develop the players who can do things that are unorthodox and unpredictable, you know, and exciting, because that's what makes our game the game, isn't it? Versus everything being purely, I say, prescriptive. But in that same breath, winning might, in terms of development for me anyway, is it's winning habits. You know, I think Lee alluded to some of this as well. Got certain behaviours or certain values, a certain habit enforce. But for players as well, whether it's, you know, that type of thing. And for somebody else, it might be how well can they play between and stay between. So there's like individual objectives, isn't there? And there's almost miniature games within games, within another game, in that getting the best of your opponent, like whoever that direct opponent is within the game, and being able to outplay them, whilst also operating within the umbrella of the bigger game. So for me, winning and development, it's, I often hear like performance versus learning or whatever, but I also think that, well, actually, you can learn by performing. You know, I'm just playing devil's advocate, but just throwing another thing in there just to consider. For me, game day objectives is, how can we put them in a platform where it's individualised, but also we're setting up our team to be successful, you know? And then obviously as a result of that, the individuals will get better, hopefully.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on, Gerard. I know it's, again, another conversation I was having today with some parents around the idea around, know, are we trying to win games? Well, yeah, we are trying to win games. We want the win to be the byproduct of how effective the players play, though. We don't want it to be something that we're directing towards. We must win. Do you know what I mean? Because I do agree that you can definitely learn from winning. You definitely can learn from losing as well. And I don't think it's it necessarily whether you win or lose that makes a difference. I think it's how you extract learning and how you consolidate the information that you've kind of reflected on. And I guess that's what my point was coming back to initially around, you know, like I said, Lee made the point around, you know, making sure the players are learning. And I'd be really interested maybe to get your thoughts, and even Lee, if you want to share anything around what that actually looks like as a clarification purpose or a consolidation process, if you like.
Yeah, it's interesting, really, because like to clarify kind of what my meaning was by that. So at the start of the season, obviously, we set, you know, our principles of what we are. So from, you know, from an academy point of view, what the principles are of how we want to play, what's our identity.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And then obviously then we break it down a little bit when we sit down with the players at the start of the season and we set them objectives. They set their objectives as well and also their development plan and what that looks like going forward. So hence, when we sit down and have the player meetings, it's like I said, it's not meetings where they're just, it's just spontaneous every week. It's just stuff that, you know, they just clip what they see. It's stuff that they're specifically going after. So what would a midfielder, what would their objectives be? So if it was playing forward quickly, or can he play forwards off one touch or two touch? Objectives for wide players. So for me, they're going after specific bits of the game. They're not just watching the game for the sake of it. And when they're looking at themselves, they're set targets for each player from what they've set themselves and what we've set for them across the season. So it gives you a gauge of what they're learning, what information they're taking on board, what actions are actually taking part in the game. And that's from good and bad. Do you know what I mean? It's not always that. So it gives us a clear idea then what to work on when we did a lot of individual work with them across the week in their sessions, what they're practicing, what we're coaching them as well. Because like I said, we went quite heavy individual and unit work. So the game's obviously the byproduct, and that's the important bit. And then across the season as well, we would have a block of work where we really went to win games as well. So we would do like a 4-week block where we would go after the game and we'd go and try and win the game. We made that a clear focal point and a clear focus of what we were doing. So the plan might change a little bit, the work might change a little bit, but we wanted to set them something across the week, across the season, where they get a good balance of everything. So for me, it gave me a clear idea every meeting. It wasn't just being put down on paper or being written on a computer. We could actually go back to meetings and we could actually go back and see what was going on. And we could actually see how they were learning across the season with the information that they were giving us. And that's the key bit. It's that we can always coach them. We always want to give them the information, but what are they actually taking on board? So that was really key for me, of getting feedback from them. And making sure I could see actually they were learning by the quality of the clips they were producing, and that's the key bit.
So just in relation to that, then obviously, would you mind just sharing some insight around what the process looks like from, you know, at the top end of it, in terms of you identifying what those objectives are going to be, what kind of processes you're following as to whether how are they identifying these are relevant tasks or objectives or outcomes that they set in relation to the position they're playing, and you know, what kind of conversations take place around that specifically?
Well, yeah, so from a point of that, it's and I'm sure this happens at, you know, every other club as well, basically, like I say, you have your principles and your style and your philosophy of how you want to play. So within that, it's broken down into positions, roles and responsibilities. So what does it look like for a midfielder, technically and tactically? What does it look like from a social point of view? So we try and cover what is the four corners. So we try and break down what we feel is a player that's going to get into our first team. So then we kind of sit down with the players. They go through that. We go through it and they pick specific bits out of what we see as a centre-back, what is their roles and responsibilities with and without the ball. So that's what we go, and they kind of focus in on that. So again, it's not just ad hoc. It's not just certain stuff that they just go after. It's actually detailed in what we see as a first-team player, or what we feel that a centre-back may need to get into the first team and become a professional. So they pick little bits out of that. They pick 3 or 4 objectives across it from each corner, and that goes onto their development plan. So that's what happens. So it's all written out for them. It's all designed for them. And then it can get, then they start to build them pictures in their mind and actually know what that looks like, or what specifically they're going after when they're feeding back, or when they're analysing themselves. So it's always planned around what we feel a midfielder has, or a forward has, or a wide player needs to have. So there's specifics in there that they're going after. So they know what a midfielder needs to have to get into the first team at the club. So that's how we do it. That was how I've done it as well. So if that makes sense. But that's how we go about it. That's how I would start to build a plan for a player across the season.
Yaz, I don't know if there's anything.
Yeah, no, I saw your hand go up, so I was just waiting for you to come in.
Yeah, I was just listening, just thinking that, and it's not to throw away a comment with no context or substance. I just think it's important to add in that we always talk about, like, you know, game in terms of, like, what does it need? There's two things really there. You've got the preference of whoever the first team coach is, unless we're in an organisation where the sporting director or director of football or whoever it is has got a clear vision. There's other sort of values and principles that are consistent with where we want to operate that takes into effect what's needed to operate at that level, but also what we feel is our brand in terms of the way the supporters want us to play, what our cultural brand is, our identity, etc. There's that side of it in there. We're talking about the pro and even some other clubs, I guess. But then the difficulty with that becomes is that we're preparing players for this game, but obviously the game will evolve. But how much do we find that balance between, you know, what the head coach is at that time's preference is to get into his first team, but then how long does that guy last all round? What if that guy's way off script and some of the stuff that they're doing isn't constructively aligned with some of the key messages, you know, at the younger end? And of course, we're always having to, you know, even I had to at one point when I was under 21's coach, you're having to adapt to whatever's going on at the top of the hat. But then I think we always forget, like, what does their game look like? And I don't just mean in the comment of small-sided soccer or whatever. Even if you're at 11v11, what's their identity as a player? What do they bring to the table? Because, you know, we can talk about player profiles or positions or expectations to get in the first team, you need to do X, Y, Z. But actually, what does their game bring? What are some of their qualities? Because I think it's finding that balance as well, because there are some players who might actually change, you know, and be better than what's already in there. Do you know what I mean? By doing something different or exploiting some of what their sort of super strengths are, whether that be physical qualities or other advantages. And I think that's how the game can continually grow. But you always want to make sure, for me, if we're talking about game day and individualized stuff, it's recognizing like what makes that guy, that kid, special, because that's part of it as well, versus turning someone into average or whatever the baseline is within that league. Well, actually, how can we go above that? Just a couple of comments from me, 2 cents.
Yeah, and I think some valid points to Gerard as well. And I think something just worth adding in there. And you know, this is probably more relevant to those coaches working in and around academy programs and, you know, professional football environments, if you like, is also recognising that, yeah, you can have your club philosophy, but the bottom line is this: every club is going to be set up in a different way in the sense of what the purpose of their academy is. You know, obviously, at the end of the day, we want to produce players, we want to get players as many professional contracts as possible. But the bottom line is this: some clubs are literally set up to produce players to sell on. Some clubs are solely reliant on the fact that they needed players coming through their academy to go into their first teams. And I think that piece is also important to identify and address. So yeah, and I think some really good points there. Tony, I'm not sure what you wanted to add, if you still got something you wanted to add there. I know we've been sitting you on mute for a little while. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. It's kind of time for Tony me to throw his weekly spanner in the works a little bit, because that depending on where you are in the game, I think we sometimes forget that kids just want to play. And I get why we're talking about learning and everything else, you know, I genuinely do. But even when I was in academy football, you know, if you start filling these kids right, so you're a right back, so your game day objectives are to make overlapping runs, get crosses in. Well, what happens if the left winger that he's playing up against pins him back the whole day? We basically set that kid up to fail. So I get the game day objectives thing, and again, you've both touched, all three of you have touched on it, in terms of the game is about winning and losing, and yes, development is a big part of that. But I've never met a kid yet in 20 years of coaching in academy football and grassroots football that wanted to lose a game. So that one's kind of a given. The way that I've tended to do things, and again, it's not for everybody, and I understand those that are working in the academy system have got PMA duties to fulfil. But actually, the majority of footballers, young footballers particularly, are outside the academy system. They're not interested in game day objectives. They want to come together with their mates. They want to play football. They want to go home at the end of it, having enjoyed it, got muddy, ran about, etc., etc. So what I've done, and even within the academy system, what I did was to produce a, like, for whatever formation we're playing, each position has maybe three roles and responsibilities in possession and three out of possession. And for me, that's how I measure their game day effectiveness. Have you managed to tick one, two, or three of those boxes the majority of the time? You know, I'm not setting them such specific tasks that to achieve those tasks, they might actually have to go against what the team's trying to achieve.
I think it's such a valid point there, Tony, and I think it's a great one, because the thing is, you do sometimes get the situation where, I've certainly seen it myself, where coaches are setting targets for players or game day objectives or however you want to, you know, kind of dress it up. And it's almost like, well, how does this link into the wider goals of the team? And I think that bit is really key. And I think, again, it's an interesting conversation I had with someone else recently about the idea that with the way things have changed recently, especially in England with the, you know, the assessment processes for all the coach education qualifications, in that it essentially allows the coaches just to have a rationale and a justification for why they're doing what they're doing. And as long as it makes sense, doesn't have to be the strongest case necessarily. But the point being that I think coaches have got to a point where they're now taking that literally. And what I mean by that is they think that anything they say, as long as it's got rationale and justification, that it's okay. And I think there's a real danger here, because it's all rationale and justification in your theory and your planning, but actually when it comes to the realities of the situation, yes, you might have a target that you set for a player based on the rationale and justification you've got, but actually it doesn't align with anything in the way it needs to for the team to get their objectives and for the overall goal of the environment that you're in, whether that's to win games, whether that's to, you know, again, essentially perform in a particular way or whatever else that may be. So I think it's something really important to kind of address there as well. I'm not sure what your thoughts are on that, G. You there, Gerard?
Yes, yeah, no, just listening in. Really good points. I mean, yeah, anything from you?
Yeah, go on, turn.
No, I was just going to say that, again, going back to this, you know, are they there to play or are they there for other purposes thing? You know, 99% of all the players are probably, more than that, in fact, are probably outside the academy system. And even those that are in the academy system, I do think that we can bog them down with too much information. Like I said, I get why it's done. And I understand the PMA process as well as anybody, having been what the clubs call a super user for the last God knows how long. But, you know, you just end up writing stuff down for the sake of it. And I'm not against coaches developing. I'm not against coaches bettering themselves. But sometimes I think that some coaches are in danger of bettering themselves at the expense of being able to better their players, because too many people are bothered what other people think, you know. And that's kind of, Gerard will know this because he's been on one of my courses many, many moons ago. I don't really care what other people think. You know, if there's something that needs to be said, I think it has to be said. And sometimes you have to stand up to the fact that we want training objectives, we want match day objectives, we want four targets, one in each corner, we want a super strength in each corner. Sooner or later, the kids are just going to go, I'm so bombarded with information, I forgot to play.
I love it, 100%. It's interesting because as I'm listening to you, I just like that a couple of things in my mind were that healthy conflict, and I think healthy conflict is good, and we probably don't have enough of that. Sorry, apologies for background noise. I'm just at my next game with the futsal. The other thing, I think that's probably got to be one of the lasting messages on this chat. For me, I think you're a great shout. I always think about that video of David Bentley. I don't know if anyone's seen it, but it's worth looking at. And everyone forgets how good he was. And obviously he played, didn't he, at some brilliant levels. And he was at Blackburn, started to get on the rise. But he said he got to a point where he was getting thrown an iPad in front of him all the time, looking at data, looking at this and that. And he just did not enjoy playing football anymore. And I think that's probably an outstanding point from you, because I think the EPPP in England has been very good in a lot of respects. But in some cases, you know, for the PMA and what have you, if we're collecting data for the sake of data and we're not utilising it, what's the point? And as you pointed out rightly, why are we overloading them with too much when sometimes we just want to play and wrestle with that, but we're giving them lots of info? I think that's a great lasting message. Probably one for us all to be more humble in, I think, of like, how much are we actually giving the players? And are we taking them away or distracting them away from what it is that they need to get better at, which is playing the game?
I think you spotted some great points there, guys. Just conscious of time, really. I'm not sure if there's anything else that anyone wants to add at this point in here, but I think it's definitely one to kind of unpack further as well, with some great considerations made in this conversation in particular. I think one of the key ones in, you know, a topic I'm looking forward to exploring very soon is how we do actually clarify the understanding of players and how we do check learning effectively. So I definitely think that's something that we can kind of lead into next week as well. I don't know if you've got any final points that you want to kind of leave everyone with, Gerard.
No, for me, I actually like the point, you know, Tony's raised at the end there, which is, you know, we're all talking about a lot of good practice across our clubs, Leeds, some great examples. And I think, you know, massive thank you to everyone who's shared some ideas. I do think it's a good one to leave on as a lasting message, which is, you know, how much are we actually giving the players? You know, are we taking away from the enjoyment of actually playing sometimes, or overloading them with too much? And we're giving them all these different challenges. I think it's a great shout. And one that anyone who wants to, you know, find out more, this is where we want to unpack stuff.
Definitely.
You know, we should be joining on more of these conversations. Obviously, we're here every week. Great to see some new faces and some different voices. And I think we've just got to keep this going, haven't we?
100%. I think for me, just, you know, last kind of final point on this topic as well. And I think if there's anything that we can do, it just to lead on from what Tony said there and what you've just mentioned there as well, Gerard, is around, let's make it as simple as possible as we can for the players. One of the biggest things that kind of I've learned to be able to do over the years, yeah, we want to give them as much information as we can, but sometimes too much is actually detrimental to them. So I kind of go with the principle of just, what's that one thing? What's the one thing that I can give them that's going to make an impact for them? Now, there might be many things. What's the one thing that's going to get them the quickest wins? And if we can start off with that, let them consolidate on that, and then build on that the following week by adding the next one thing, and then the next one thing, and so on and so forth, I think we'll get to where we need to get to eventually. So yeah, just some final points for me on that one. But I think some great contributions both from Tony, Lee, and obviously yourself as well, Gerard, on this one. And guys, just to build on what Gerard said as well, you know, we're here every week. We're really keen on trying to grow this community. It has been growing. It's great to see so many new faces over the recent weeks. Just joining in these conversations, and literally that's what this is all about. It's about us networking, connecting with other coaches, like-minded individuals, to hopefully become better at this thing that we call coaching. So guys, make sure you're following myself and Gerard. If you haven't had a chance to catch the full conversation, or you're looking for more insights around any other topics that we've covered in the past, you can check that out on the Coaches Network podcast. Obviously, you've got the Ulearnably app from Gerard as well, where we've done a range of different things on there. And keep an eye on our pages, because we've got an announcement coming up over the next couple of days for our what will be our fourth webinar. So definitely keep an eye out for that one. There's a lot of exciting stuff that myself and Gerard are working on. But unless anyone else has got anything to add, take care, guys. Have a great evening. And then we'll see you this time next Sunday.
Well, there you have it, guys. Another episode of the Coaches Network podcast, where our aim is to bring the world of athlete, talent and personal development together to just one platform. And you can help us with that mission right now by sharing this episode or any of your favorite episodes with everyone that you can think of. You can tag us in those mentions as well on Instagram at The Coaches Network or on Twitter at The Coaches Net. We look forward to hearing from you. Let us know what you thought about today's episode. And until next time, guys, take care.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery.
Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.